Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello and welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. This is your host, Mason Cosby, and today I am joined by Silvio Perez, who is the founder of Ad Conversion. Silvio, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Mason. I'm super pumped to be here.
I am beyond psyched to be here because specifically, we're going to talk through converting ads with incentives. And as we were just about to kick off, you were like, yeah, I've tested donations, I've tested Starbucks, I've tested Amazon, and like we're going to get into what is the actual conversion incentive that books the most meetings that actually turn into revenue for your target account. So that said, Silvio, can you just kind of give us a quick lay of the land? Like, what are we talking through today?
Yeah, so the whole premise here is offering some sort of incentive as an added bonus to get somebody to book a meeting with your sales team. So that's the high-level goal and kind of expectation. So the key thing I want to mention here is whenever I'm talking about incentivized ads with clients on our agency side is we're not Santa Claus. We're not just offering gift cards to anybody. We are offering incentives to a very, very specific group of people who happen to also work at a very, very specific set of companies. So the targeting is absolutely imperative. Like if you don't have good targeting, ignore everything else I'm about to say. So I'm assuming you have that down packed. And really what you want to do, which is probably one of the first tips, is you want to make sure when you run this play that the incentive is like the carrot on the stick, but it's not the whole stick itself, right? It's the cherry on the top of the cake, but it's not the cake. And what I mean by that is in terms of your messaging, right? What you don't want to do is you don't want to just be like, hey, get this free thing. And you don't connect it to a pain point or a capability. And it's just, you're leading with the free thing and that's it. And that's, you know, that's where you typically get what most people experience, which is a lot of folks just signing up, just wanting the incentive and having no real buying or purchasing intent, or at the very minimum, like intent to discover the product for the future. So really, you want to make sure when you set up your messaging that it just happens to be almost like a PS, which is actually what we do sometimes in our conversation ads, like PS, as a thank you for your time, we'll send you X incentive. And I'm happy to dive into what's the best incentive and like how to think about what incentives to offer and all that stuff.
Man, we're starting with a wonderful framing of don't be Santa Claus, actually like make sure you've got the right targeting. And if you just start to see your cost for incentives skyrocket without pipeline being generated, you should probably address some of your targeting. So that said, let's talk through how we find the audience. So I'm assuming we've got a great target account list, but how are we actually like targeting these people within our different ad platforms?
Yeah, so it's going to look a little different channel to channel. So for this play, we always recommend starting on LinkedIn. And the reason why is you have the most granularity in terms of targeting capabilities. So running this play on LinkedIn, you can use a specific list of accounts. We recommend getting even more specific. So sometimes clients will come to us and they'll say, hey, we've got this, you know, total addressable market essentially that they've sourced in terms of accounts of like 8,000 companies. We'll ask them to take it a step further and say, hey, can you tier this account out some more? So not just all these 8,000 companies, can you break it by, you know, tier one, tier two, tier three? And then let's just focus on the tier ones first, especially when you're running ads and you have to make sure you're getting enough exposure by the amount of accounts. A really good exercise to have is like, imagine by default baseline, you need at least 100 impressions for every single account on your account list. And that's like the floor. And ideally it's 1,000. So when you start to run that math and you take your CPM, you'll realize like you don't even have enough budget to cover a list that large that you're trying to reach in the first place. That's kind of like a good way to think about it. And once you've tiered those account lists, we recommend starting with like pairing it with job titles. So it's as exact as can be, right? Like it's the account list, the job title. And then what you can do is now you can start to tailor the messaging based on the titles as well. So it becomes even more relevant, the messaging. So again, you can connect the message to that specific pain point that they have. And then, oh, it just so happens we have an incentive for you as a thank you for your time.
That is a wonderful breakdown on specifically the targeting. I'm curious, when we think about
what triggers the campaign to get started. Like, I don't imagine this is going to be always be like that top of funnel, like, you don't know that we exist. Hey, you want a $100 gift card? Like, so where are we actually typically activating this kind of a program in the buyer's journey?
Yeah, it's interesting. So we've ran this against different data sources. So we've tried running this like with Sixth Sense, where, you know, they've identified like purchase decision accounts. We've tried this with Apollo. We've tried this with Qualified. We've tried this with like different data sources to kind of see if we layer this supposed intent, does it actually make a difference versus just going after a straight up cold list and, you know, just going to town. We found it actually doesn't make much of a difference in terms of like what we see in terms of the actual cost per demo and then the cost per meeting attended. So for us, because of those findings, we typically use what the client has. This is kind of where we're at the mercy of the client in terms of the ad agency side of like the sources that they can put together. The best signals that we've found success with is signals from like first party intent that they've sourced themselves. So like people visiting their site or past deals, and you want to revive those past deals, like a revival campaign, those do really, really well. But generally for prospecting, we kind of just take the best account list we can, which I don't think is necessarily the best approach, especially after learning from Isaac in our ABM course. Like, there's much better signals that people could be using. But in practice, we're typically just going after the accounts that our clients have sourced.
We'll also drop the link to the course that Isaac put together on ad conversion. It was fantastic. So okay, we've got a clear idea of, if we're going to be piloting this, we should start ideally with first party engagement. That's where we've got our best signals. We could go cold, but it's maybe not going to be the best converting opportunity. So that said, as you then think through specifically like the individual tactics, because again, we're talking about LinkedIn ads, there's a variety of different kinds of LinkedIn ads that someone could run. So what are the best ad types that are being run for this kind of a program?
Yeah. So the way we think about it is first starting with conversation ads. So conversation ads is typically going to get you your best pipe to spend in terms of efficiency of every dollar you put, how much pipeline you get back from that format. It's much more personalized. It goes to a person's inbox. Ever since LinkedIn rolled out the other inbox tab in the LinkedIn inbox, it did hit open rates. They also caused frequency caps on how often somebody can receive a conversation ad. So you're going to have scalability issues in terms of really like scaling that across all your key accounts and decision makers. But it's a good starting point. If you want to be very like cost sensitive, start there, find some success, and then start to scale your conversation ads. The next level up is now you take the same incentive offer and you run it in feed as an image or a video. And this is your way of scaling that tactic through sponsored content, where now you get outside of the restrictions in terms of frequency that the inbox has. So that's kind of like a 1-2. And then if people are like, you know, they're really aggressive, they just want to get as much volume as they can right now, then we typically start with conversation ads and that sponsored content, whether it's image or video.
Very cool. So as we're thinking through then specifically content, if we go with in-feed, we need some kind of a video, we need some kind of a graphic. Are there any other content recommendations that you would offer for this kind of a program?
Yeah, absolutely. So one really, really tactical thing I would recommend is on the conversation ad, make sure you add a 300 by 250 banner representing the incentive that you're offering in the actual message. We've actually tested this, like offer it, like having that little banner of the incentive in the conversation ad versus not. And it was incredible. Like, we saw a difference of like 200% in terms of the cost per demo by offering, like having that little image in the combo ad versus not. So it does make a big difference. I would highly recommend having that in the actual image itself. And then as far as the content goes, the content you're leading with primarily is like the hard CTA of like get a demo. That's the primary content offer. And then what you're doing is you're tying it to the incentive. So as far as the incentive you should offer to pair with the demo in this case, there's really two things you want to think about when deciding on that incentive. The first one is you want to think about the perceived value. So how valuable is the incentive in the eyes of the prospect, in the eyes of the consumer? So for example, we have tried Amazon gift cards. We've tried Starbucks gift cards. When I was at Metadata, we tried Dunkin' Donuts gift cards as well. We've tried donate to a charity of your choice. We've tried swag boxes, all of these different offers. And ultimately what we found was the Amazon gift card was the one that typically performs the best across clients. And I find that to be true today in the agency. And the reason why, if you stop and ask yourself, like, why Amazon gift card? Like, what's so special about this? It's because it has a very high perceived value. You can buy almost anything on Amazon, right? Versus if you give somebody a Starbucks gift card, maybe they're not a Starbucks person, right? Like, they're a Dunkin's person. And like, if you're giving them a Starbucks gift card, like, that's already going to piss them off. They're like, I don't drink Starbucks, right? Or maybe they don't like coffee and, you know, they want tea or something. I don't know. But Amazon gift card has tremendous perceived value. The same is true with swag boxes. Like, you might have really cool merch, but like, do I really need another shirt, you know? And then I'm going to have to wait a while for that shirt to get to me. So, you know, how does that rank in terms of the perceived value to the consumer? And then the last thing, which is really important, because we, you know, like, you can get really creative with this. Like, I've never offered this, but I've talked to somebody who has. Like, they offered AirPods, super high perceived value. The challenge with an incentive like that is the ease of fulfillment. It's very expensive. And number two, their shipping costs. If you're advertising internationally, now you have to deal with international shipping, all these different regulations. So the ease of fulfillment is also a big thing you want to ask yourself when deciding on the incentive you give. So just make sure it's something that ideally can be fulfilled really quickly and automatically, which is why you see the Amazon gift card come up so much, because you can automate fulfillment through tools like Sendoso or Postal, where you can automatically fulfill the gift card after the person is qualified from the meeting booked. So there's ways to like scale it. And with that being said, on the Amazon gift card, just some additional tips for everyone. We've tested amounts. So we've tested $50 versus $66 versus $100 versus $101. And $101 was the best in terms of like conversion rates and the cost per demo. So really, if you're considering the incentive outside of like perceived value, ease of fulfillment, the way I like to frame and think about incentives is like, it's a math game at the end of the day. You know, like, not everyone is going to be qualified, just like not everybody would be qualified if you weren't offering an incentive in the first place. But the real value and the gold of this play is it allows you to convert cold traffic that otherwise wouldn't have converted in the first place. It allows you to open up a demo with somebody that would have never done it in the first place had the incentive not been there. Now, the way you want to frame these demos is like, I call these awareness demos. Like, you cannot compare these demos with the same perspective as you do non-incentivized demos. They're not going to convert at the same rate. Of course, like, you're giving them some sort of incentive to kind of like kickstart that relationship in their journey much sooner than it would have happened naturally. So the real value is like, if you have a strong demo process, you can showcase it to them, you know, build that relationship, open up that bridge. This is where using incentives for multi-threading is really powerful. You can open that bridge with one decision maker, and then they get you into the org, and you can nurture that relationship over 6 months. Now we're talking, right? It becomes this like Trojan horse that you can use to get into the account, right? And that's kind of the way you want to frame it. I actually have like a bunch of stats, if you think it's helpful, Mason, for everyone around like expectations of like worst, moderate, best case I can walk through.
Yeah, let's do it.
So worst case scenario, kind of what we aim for, is a 5% lead to SQL conversion rate. This is like worst case. So in typically we see the average cost per incentivized lead being about $125 to $500, give or take on LinkedIn. And a moderate case, you're looking for about a 15% lead to SQL conversion rate. And then best case is 30% lead to SQL conversion rates. So depending on your industry, your market, your audience, you know, those conversion rates will dramatically range. Now, notice I said 30% is best case. That means 70% will not be sales qualified, right? So again, it's a math game. It's a numbers game. And you just have to ask yourself, like, is my demo process strong? Do I have junior reps that I need to ramp up and get them more meetings, more volume? Like, these are like things to consider of like running this play. If you don't have the reps, you don't have a strong demo process, like, then just don't invest in this. Like, do something else, run another playbook. Like, you know, webinars are great at like building brand affinity and trust and like getting that relationship started. So assuming you have a 5% conversion rate from lead to SQL, you're looking at about 2,500 on the low end cost per SQL to 10,000 on the high end, depending on that cost per demo. 15%, you're looking at 833 on the low end, about 3,333 on the high end. And then best case, it's about 416 cost per SQL on the low end And then on the high end is about $1,600. So these are some numbers to give everyone like a framework and kind of like to audit yourself against.
And I think that's super helpful for people to actually think through, because I know there's been a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm just giving away money for free. And it's like, well, what about a 10% referral fee? Like I'm now auditing myself for a moment, because I've got clients that I've received a referral and or I've given a referral and it's 10%. So like 10 grand a month for an agency engagement, I'm giving away $1,000 per month for that customer that I was able to acquire. So if you think about like other kinds of programs and you think it's a math game. So like, what's my customer acquisition cost? And from there, does this math make sense? If not, that's okay. But don't write it off because it has a, because it's also not just the perception of the customer, but the internal perception of like, we're just giving away gift cards.
Yeah.
Like there's a, you got to get the buy-in on that front, but also in that same vein, you're giving away something that is very perceived as valuable. So I could see it both ways. So I'm curious, as you have this conversation internally with some of your clients, or you've had this conversation in past jobs, like how do you help get the buy-in to run a program where you're literally giving away something that's like Amazon gift cards are like one step removed from just giving somebody $100.
Yeah, 100%. It's not easy. I mean, I'll just frame expectations, you know, depending on the org and, you know, their experience with this, it can be a battle, you know, and sometimes you're not going to win the battle just because, you know, they just don't want to do that. I think the biggest thing is just kind of walking them through the steps and the components. So the first one is showing them the message. So I like to already draft the message and just kind of get ahead of it and be like, hey, here's great examples of what good messaging looks like. And I start there because that's the number one fear they have is like, I'm just going to come off as like a beggar and I'm going to just like ruin my reputation and my, you know, all this stuff. And like, it's not going to, you know, there's all these fears and it's show them the message like, hey, notice how 90% of this message has nothing to do with an incentive. And then just, oh, look, the last little piece is, and like the way I kind of frame it is, if you truly believe your product is as good as you say it is, wouldn't you want more people to find out about it? You know, and this is just a tool to get more people to find out about it, right? Again, assuming your targeting is on point, right? Like you're not offering this to just rent anybody. Like these are the right people. And if you have an opportunity to make that happen now versus 6 months from now, you know, assuming the math works out, why not give it a shot? And it's not something you have to like go all in on. I'm a big believer in like growth through small bets. So you can run a pilot campaign. Just run a pilot campaign. Allocate like 5% of your budget to it and just see how it goes. And, you know, you can continue to run all your other emotions at the same time. And that's the way to frame it. Cause I think ultimately one of the biggest things I think folks get wrong with ads now, the big difference between ads and just organic content is with ads, you're trying to create predictable demand. So does it matter what your approach is? And I feel like this could be a whole other podcast. Like if you're running the ungated playbook, and you're focusing on like distributing content and getting content consumption in feed and like exposure and then retargeting and all that, there is a system that you're building there, right? Whether you know it or not, which has clear leading KPIs, lagging KPIs, and you need to understand that system that you're creating so that you can actually create predictability out of it. Because if not, what ends up happening is you're just like in this spray and pray approach where you're just like pushing content. You're like, I hope it resonates and I hope it leads to meetings. Like newsflash, it actually doesn't a lot of the times. So whether you're running the ungated approach, you're running incentivized ads, you're running events, you're running, you know, like 100% zero click content, whatever it is, like all of those are different acquisition systems that you're building from an ads perspective. And you just need to make sure that you're understanding what it is that you're building and then the numbers of the conversion rates throughout that process. So you can create repeatability and predictability, because the next level from scaling this approach and the incentivized ads is once you've nailed LinkedIn, now you scale it on Meta. And the way you scale it on Meta is through using like a third-party tool like Metadata or say Primer or Clearbit, where now you can activate against those same audiences that you care about on another channel at a much lower cost. And then the next level up from this is you take that same approach and now you use your contact list to try to do the same approach on a platform like Twitter, where you upload like a custom list, customer list to try to run that play. And then even if like even further, if it makes sense, potentially YouTube, where now you can upload that customer list and run the same play. So you're taking one system that you've proven on one channel where you understand the economics, you've scaled it up on that channel and that system, you've bridged it to another channel, you do it again, you stress test the system, and now you scale to another channel. So as you scale, you're stacking on your wins and your successes. You're not starting over from scratch again and again.
That was a podcast episode in itself, just showing, like, there's a lot to unpack with that. And I want people to rewind and to listen to that again of scale through small bets and like master a channel, take a concept, take it to a new channel for the same audience. And like, that's how literally when people are like, how do you scale ABM? I'm like, you access new audiences, you access new channels. That's really it. Like, yes, you can make new content, but like, those are the three things. It's content, it's audiences, it's channels. So I just love that breakdown. Is your rewinding to let's start really small and just like take 5% of a budget, like four people, because depending on the budget, like if you ask Scrappy ABM to take 5% of our marketing budget, it's actually not a lot of marketing budget. It's pretty scrappy over here. So I'm curious on like a figure, like, is there a number where you're like, this is a viable amount of money to trial this for 3 to 6 months?
Yeah, I would just use those benchmarks as like a starting point. So assuming on the low end, it's going to cost you $125 to get an opt-in for a demo. And then on the high end, 500 from like our benchmarks. Don't get me wrong, like there's people who are getting demos for like 2,000, 3,000 for incentivized. That usually doesn't work out like when we see it like convert to opportunities. So that's kind of like our window. But just taking those numbers, like, if you want one demo, well, then that means you need to spend $125, right? At the bare minimum, like now there's statistical significance in terms of testing. So what we usually recommend is like whatever your goal is, multiply it times two or three, depending on your tolerance. So for example, if you want to drive demos for $100, you need to spend $300 max before turning that thing off because it had enough learnings. This is like a really like simple, easy approach to take. There's ways to get like more creative about it in terms of like statistical significance, but that's like a really simple process for most people to follow and get that like fear out of their mind of like, oh my God, I'm letting this thing spend too much money. I'm wasting, I'm burning cash, etc. That's like a simple way to approach it.
I love it. Really last question for you of just, as you've helped people build ABM programs, like, is there anything else you'd want to share with people you feel like we didn't touch on that's like essential for getting an ABM program or this kind of program off the ground?
I would love to talk about the list more because as someone who stands on the ad side of things, you know, the ad is the tip of the spear, you know, and just to kind of reiterate that point earlier, so many folks spend so much time obsessing over the content. Like I can't, like they're doing too much. Like, especially on the ad side, they're like, oh, we've got this campaign and that campaign and with this person, like there's so much going on. And 9 times out of 10, when we're taking over new accounts, we're like, okay, let's stop doing all of this stuff. That's just a distraction. And it's like, you know, marginal in terms of return on effort. Let's just focus on these fewer assets and like really building a system that we can scale and then just ignore the rest. And then like, just measure how this thing performs. And now we continue to stack on it. And then we expand it across channels to your point, like earlier. So that's such an important point. But the key piece that everyone kind of skips over, which I hope most people like tune into your stuff and like user gems and all that great content, like take the time to really build that list. And whatever that list is, make sure your sales team is also going after them. And it's like this cohesive approach. So at the very minimum, even if you never get a single demo from that ad, the impression itself is worthwhile.
Yeah.
And if the impression itself is worthwhile, then that is a good proxy that you have good targeting and you've set up a good list.
I love it. If you're not already following Silvio, everyone go. Just stop here. Well, actually finish this and then go. But Silvio, thank you so much. As we talk about people going to you, where would you send them? Like, how can people find out more about you?
Yeah. So if you're into learning about ads and you want to level up your B2B advertising skill set this year, come check us out at adconversion.com. We have free courses taught by legit practitioners. We make no money selling courses. No lesson is longer than 10 minutes. We've got courses on Google Ads for beginners, intermediate, advanced, LinkedIn. We've got B2B advertising foundations, and we've got like a bunch more courses on the way around Reddit, measurement, ABM, and other topics. And then if you have any questions, feel free to connect with me on LinkedIn. Just search me at Silvio Perez.
And I don't normally do this, but I want people that are listening that are like, oh, but I like Mason's content. Everything that you just said is super complimentary, because for quick context, Scrappy ABM does not talk about advertising. Like, we are so focused on the sales and marketing alignment and like the program structure component. I make zero content on how to do ad programming because I don't know. And like everything you just outlined, super complimentary. So I actually think if people took the learnings from both, they'd make a killer program. So seriously, if you want to learn more on everything Silvio talked about, you're actually not going to find it here. I don't have it. Silvio does. So Silvio, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we'll see you in the next one.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you're looking for more content just like this, I highly recommend you go subscribe to our newsletter. We release weekly playbooks so that you have the actionable ways in which you can start to build an ABM program today. Just go to scrappyabm.com/newsletter to subscribe. And if you enjoyed this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you'd leave a 5-star review and hit the notification bell so you never miss an episode. I look forward to seeing you in the next one.